this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 63. And before we do, let's just start with some prayer. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Lord, as we meet together this morning to look at your word in the Psalms, that's what we're doing. We're seeking you. We want to know you, we want to see you, Jesus. We want to know you better. We want to be close to you. I just pray you give us open hearts this morning to receive what you would say and seek you, Lord. Amen. So, for those of you who don't know me, which is pretty much everybody here, my name's John. I'm one of the elders at Slough Baptist Church. In my normal working life, I work for Tear Fund. And for my sins, I am an accountant. You know those times when you're at school and they ask you about what sort of career you want to do or not want to do and everything? I said, you know, okay, so I'm good with math stuff, but whatever happens, I do not want to go into either teaching or accounting. Well, clearly, I failed pretty badly. So that's me. I've got two teenage children and a wife. So obviously, they'll be at Slough Baptist Church this morning. So this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 63, which was a psalm of David. And it's looking a little bit about his experience of God, particularly in difficult times. Now, how have you experienced God in your life? Just want to stop and think for a minute. How have you experienced God in your life? And what was your most memorable time when you felt God closest to you? Just think back over your life. When was the time you really felt God close to you? Maybe just one odd time, maybe lots of various times, maybe when you were really young, but maybe very recently. As Christians, our ultimate hope is heaven. It's to be with God forever, isn't it? Have you ever thought of what heaven is going to be like? What are your thoughts when you begin to imagine it? Do you think first of like this beautiful city that's described in the book of Revelation? Do you think of the rest that you'll have there, freedom from pain and suffering? What do you think of just being with God and speaking with him face to face? What's talking with the other saints that are all listed in the Bible and about their experiences in this life and the stories that you read there? We don't really know what heaven is going to be like. But we do know that we can talk to God now. He listens to us as he wants to speak to us in many different ways. I remember one particularly challenging question from the speaker, Pete Gregg. He asked this question, when you get to heaven, what are you going to talk with God about? So much of the time in our prayers, we spend time praying for this, for that, God's going to say, God do this for us. But when we get to heaven, we don't need to ask God to be doing anything for us because he's already done everything. And yet, if we've got all that time in heaven to spend with God, what are we going to talk with him about? How are we going to experience him there? In this psalm, we see that David didn't really have that sort of issue to worry about what he would be talking with God about. Because we can see just his longing for being with God in his everyday life. The whole psalm reflects David's personal relationship which he had with God, how much he loved him, and this intense longing which he had to see God, to know God, to be close to him. God was the person who he could trust, the one he could rely on in times of trouble. When you're facing difficulties, where do you turn? Is God the first port of call, the first thing you think of? About 2 years ago, I was chatting with Andy, who was our former pastor, about this epidemic thing that was happening over in Wuhan in China and developing. And I told him that I thought this was a terrible thing, people are dying, and it'll probably hit the UK soon. I agree that was going to be happening. But, you know, it'll probably pass really quickly. Different people die, lots of tragedy and suffering. But it would tail off pretty quickly. Maybe by May or June, everything was back to normal. You can see, obviously, 2 years later, how wrong I am, but just don't trust my predictions on anything at all. These last 2 years have been really difficult for us all in different ways, the different challenges which we've faced. And particularly things like going to funerals, or even worse, not being able to go to a funeral because of number restrictions, not being able to see friends and family, and even a fear of going out and getting to the shop. But how as Christians do we respond to these difficult times? How does our relationship with God help us when things are difficult for us? When I look through the Bible, I find multiple answers to that question. Sometimes there is stories of lament and psalms of lament. Sometimes there's anger that is expressed. And sometimes, like in today's psalm, there's just this refocusing on God. And I think that actually focusing on God is one of the core ways we as Christians have to respond to difficult and challenging situations. Even for the people in Ukraine, for the Christians there at the moment, as they face a really uncertain future, will they live, will they die, will they lose everything, what is this new situation going to be like for them? Focusing on God and knowing He's the one who holds the future, that is the core, the key to their situation. The main thing, as someone said, is to keep the main thing as the main thing. And for us, the main thing is God Himself. We need to keep Him as the main thing in our lives and to focus on Him. Now, Psalm 63 has been, for a long time, one of my favourite psalms. The early church used to recommend that Christians read this psalm every single morning. That it was a daily psalm we read to focus on God every morning. And so I've read it a lot, but when I read it this time, about a month ago, there was one bit that stuck out to me that I had never noticed before, and it's one of the bits that you sometimes don't read. You don't even notice in the psalm, and it's actually the header of the psalm. Because the header of this psalm says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So from this, of course, we know this was a psalm of David, like a lot of the ones were. But it tells us about the situation which he was in at the time, in the wilderness of Judah. So, the obvious question then is, so what was happening? When was David in the wilderness of Judah? And as you read through commentaries, as you'd expect with all the commentators, they disagree with each other as about when this happened. But there's two possibilities that they've generally accepted come up with. One was when David was fleeing from King Saul, when Saul was chasing him down out of jealousy. And the other, when David was fleeing from Absalom, his son, who was trying to usurp the kingdom and take over the throne. Either way, they end up with the same situation. David's in trouble, being treated unjustly, on the run, fleeing in the wilderness, sleeping rough. He has lost everything, pretty much, that he had, all the comfort that he had there before. And so when we look through this psalm and see David using terms like dry and barren and thirsty and being awake through the night watches, you can see that this is really the situation that David was in. And people are seeking after his life. And so when you think about this, you see just what a dire situation it was. He had lost everything. He wasn't just this king in great comfort. He was someone who was sleeping wherever he could find a safe place for the night. He was a wanted criminal. All his peace and comfort and riches were gone. All his power gone. All his respect gone. Probably not much that he had left, apart from the clothes which he wore and the loyal friends that stayed with him. And that's quite a turnaround from the position of fame that he had had before. And so how does David respond to this difficult situation where he has lost everything? We can see that David's way of responding is by having a focus on God and getting his perspective on life right. As we have a quick look through this psalm, many of the psalms you can count the number of requests that David might put to God, the many things that he asks God to do for him. But if we look through this one, we see no complaints, and we see no requests of God. He's not asking for anything, even though there's this really tough situation. He's not asking God to do anything for him. He just wants God himself, to be close to him, to see God again. David has moved his focus off of his difficulties and onto God himself. In verse 1 we see it says, oh God, you are my God. David's crying out to the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. He's recognizing who God is. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body yearns for you in a dry and weary land without water. He's making it clear that the God he worships is the one and only true God. And his reflection on his thirsting and hungering in the situation is that actually, really, he's more than thirsting physically, he's thirsting spiritually for God. As the land itself is parched and dry, he's also missing the fellowship of other believers when he goes to worship at the tabernacle. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I really missed during the tight lockdown period was the time when we got to meet in worship. Instead of gathering with a larger group, it was just maybe one or two people that we could meet with, maybe just going out for a walk, and that was all the fellowship which we were able to get. And it's really helped me to see what a privilege we have in being able to join together to worship God on a Sunday morning. And David continues then through his psalm, focusing his desire on God. He says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Again, something I hadn't thought about before I started studying over the last few weeks is, when did this happen? It, obviously, in the Psalm of David, so it happened in David's lifetime. So, what about the temple in those days? Well, there was no temple, was there? Because the first temple was built by David's son Solomon. So when David talks about seeing God in the sanctuary, he's talking about going to a tent that was originally set up by Moses in that time, and worshipping God there. It wasn't any magnificent building or anything. It was very much this outdoor sort of setting that God, that David had for worshipping God in. David's experience of worship there was sufficient that he was able to recognize and see God in that situation. And then you think also about what truths that David knew. What bits of the Bible was he able to meditate on? Well, probably pretty much all he had was the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Many of which are ones which we kind of skip over when we're reading because they're a bit more challenging to read. David had five books and a tent, and this was his experience, and yet you see this incredible experience that he's had of God in that situation. And you see how much more privilege we have. We've got 66 books in the Bible. That's 20 times as much as David had. And we're able to see the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. We can see the stories of Jesus, how he died for us, how he rose again. We can see the whole picture. David only got a small view of God's great plan for this world. How much more can we see God's glory and worship him? Because we've got so much more than David had. And yet, what was David doing in his difficult situation? He was just on his knees, worshipping God, focusing on his Lord. And verse 3 gives us this amazing statement of faith that David had. Because your loving devotion is better than life, my lips will glorify you. David could see that God's love is better than life. We kind of think of life itself as being the most valuable thing we have, but it's not. God's love is even more valuable than that. When we get to heaven, we see God face to face. I guess we'll really understand what this means. I can see some overlap with what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8:3. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's way too easy to think. Easy for us to think that we keep ourselves alive, we keep ourselves going by how we look after our bodies, how we make sure. Well, we don't make sure, it happens automatically, doesn't it? Our heart beating, our lungs breathing, these are things we don't even think about. But we look at ourselves by how we maybe keep ourselves agile and mobile, how we eat, when we rest. And we kind of think we've got a bit of control over our lives. But the truth is that every breath that we have, every heartbeat, is a gift from God. He's the one who's created us. He sustains us. He gives us breath moment by moment. And his word speaks life into us. We need to spend time with him. because His love is better than life. Meditating on God's word and just spending time knowing Him, that is what will give us more of a sense of just, not just a physical life, but that real vivacity, that real life and a sense of living rather than just existing. See, when David was in trouble, he was focusing not on what he did not have, but on what he did have. And he had God's love, and that was sufficient for him. Is God's love sufficient for you? I mean, you know, in theory, God's love is sufficient for me, yes, not ahead, yes. God's love is sufficient for us. But what about in practice? When you're in times of difficulty, are you able to focus on God and His love for you, His care and compassion, rather than just looking at what we've lost? Everything that you have, even life itself, is just nothing in comparison to God Himself. And so it was that in this time of great difficulty that David could say, "So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." It may feel difficult for us to praise God when things go wrong. 2 weeks ago at the first funeral for a friend of mine, John, only 3 years older than me. And as we sat and stood and sang some songs of worship together, it can be difficult when you're mourning the loss of someone. That mourning is important. It's a process which you'll go through. And those, the sadness of missing him can remain. But in those times, it's good for us still to focus on God and to worship him together. It's good for us to sing to him and to praise his name. Because what we have in him is still is better than all that we have lost. God's love is better than life. And then what was the outcome of David focusing on God? Verse 5 tells us, "My soul is satisfied as with the richest of food. With joyful lips, my mouth will praise you." Now, I don't know about you, but I love food. Not in the kind of fine dining sense where you get this huge dining plate with one lettuce leaf on it or anything like that. I'm more of the Asterix, the Asterix books, the kind of feasts that you see in there. There's just loads of food on the table and you just overeat to your heart's content. I think that's the kind of feast which David is picturing when he talks about his soul satisfied with the richest of food. It literally, in the Hebrew, it says that the fatty foods, the fatty meat, all the richest, the most expensive and the best foods of all. David is picturing this great, incredible feast, all the best delicacies, like the best Sunday lunch, a Christmas dinner if you like, that kind of meal. And remember where David was though, when he was talking about this. He was in the wilderness, on the run, surviving on whatever little pieces of food that he had, not a feast at all. And yet, in that time, he was able to feast, and his feast was on God, on time with God, on spending time in worshipping and praising and focusing and meditating on God. When's the last time you felt that God, that joy in God's presence that David is describing? When's the time you can think of that you thought that worshipping and praising God and meditating on Him was better than a feast? This morning, as I come, I cannot give you that sense of a feast in God's presence. Because it doesn't come about with one good sermon. It doesn't come about with 100 good sermons. It doesn't come about with the best preacher in the world. What I want to do, rather, is to increase your appetite and your hunger for God. I want you to desire Him. I want you to leave this building with a real longing to know God more, to spend more time with Him, and to really desire that sense of His presence. Having that overwhelming longing for God is the starting point. Having a longing for God that is stronger than our longing for food, or rest, or TV, or Facebook, or gardening, or whatever it is that you enjoy. All those things may be good and fine in and of themselves, but when the desire for those things takes over from our desire for God, then we're going to be missing out on the ultimate satisfaction that God has to offer, and the joy like David found in the psalm. We find God when we seek God. and we desire Him, and we put the time and the effort into seeking Him, not just by turning up once a week on a Sunday morning, but by seeking Him 7 days a week. We read our Bible, and we pray, we talk about Him with other believers. Those are the ways which God has given us to seek Him. It's the same as David has, the same still today, that we need to use these ways that God has given us to seek Him, and it's then we'll find Him and enjoy His presence. You see, in verse 6, David tells us he was thinking about God throughout the night. He said, "When I remember you on my bed, I think of you through the watches of the night." I don't know if you ever have trouble sleeping. I usually get to sleep pretty quickly, but occasionally, like on Friday night this week, I woke up at 3 a.m. and couldn't get to sleep. After an hour in bed, I finally gave up and got up and wandered around a little bit and had a small bite to eat and finally went to bed. Maybe going to sleep about 4:30. But think of David's situation. All things to him. He was sleeping rough. He didn't have like a comfortable mattress. His pillow would probably just been a stone to lay his head on. No wonder he talks about staying awake through the watches of the night and waking early in the morning. But what did he do during those times? He focused on God. He thought about God and he worshipped Him. He meditated on Him. Some verses translate verse 1 as "Early in the morning I seek you." And we don't know if David did wake up early to seek God. Probably in that sort of situation, with the uncomfortable bed, he probably did wake up at the crack of dawn each day. But we know that it's an example of Jesus set, getting up before it was daylight, before other people were awake, to spend time alone with his Father. And if Jesus needed that, how much more do we need it? To spend time alone with God. And then the psalm goes on telling us about how David's help, a godly David's help and his shelter, how he clung on to God. As we try to cling on to God, it's like a child clinging on to their parents. They think they're clinging on to their parents, but really it's their parents holding it fast to them. And actually, the word used really means like glue. God was holding him like glue, that God would really be secure in his grip on David. God was never going to let him down. God was never going to let him go. David had that assurance that no matter what his enemies were doing, no matter what his present situation was, that God was there with him, looking after him. And that even when it looked like his enemies had the upper hand, that they would fail, because their situation, their position was based on lies. And he knew that it was the truth that would prevail. He had a secure footing because he trusted in God. It was God who would uphold him. We sang earlier from "The Lord's My Shepherd," that famous Psalm 23, and it talks there about having a feast in the midst of our enemies. And that's what David could indeed do in the difficult situation that he was in. So what about you? Where's your focus going to be in times of trouble, in times of mourning, in times of difficulty? As with David, a single prayer doesn't magically make the troubles go away. Remember, David would in praying this prayer for who knows how long. It wasn't just a short time David was on the run. When he was fleeing from Saul, stories about a shepherd boy around that he killed Goliath, that's when he became famous when he was young. He didn't become king until he was 30. He was running away for like a decade or something like that, waiting a long time to see his prayers answered. But during that time, his focus and his trust on God, meditating on the joy that God had given him. In times of trouble, let us mourn, let us lament, but let us never lose our focus on God. Let us seek Him with all of our heart. As it says in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for what we have in you. It is so much greater than all the things of this world, better than all the riches and relationships that we can have. just known for your love for us. Thank you that in times of trouble and difficulty, you are still there. You are always with us. You never fail us. You never let us down. You are sure and steadfast. And Jesus, our hope is in you. We thank you because you have shown us your love in so many ways. That scripture, most of all, Jesus, in you coming and you dying there on the cross for us. We thank you, though, you didn't stay there. You're alive today. You're risen. You are a resurrected Lord, and we want to praise you and worship you. Lord, we want our focus to be on you. We want to see you and know you. Lord, increase in each one of us that intense longing like David had to know you and to be with you. Lord, may we long for you more than we long for anything in this world. May we think of you through the watches of the night. May we think of you as our first thought in the morning. May we think of you as we go about our day, as we do the gardening, as we clean the house, as we drive around. Lord, may we just have you filling our thoughts. And may we just take that time to spend with you in praising and worshipping you, meditating on you, because you are so good and so great, Lord Jesus. I pray for you to fill us with that longing, and then answer that longing with just a sense of your presence. May we know you more and more day by day, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Going to sing another song now, Christ to be our light.